For those of you who are just joining us, maybe for the first time, or you've missed a few weeks, we've been going through a book of the Bible called Ephesians. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to people in Ephesus, Christians in Ephesus. The story is very cool. If you don't know the story, you can pick up the story in Acts chapter 19. Some weird and wacky stuff happened to Paul, and you know, some of Paul's stuff, like his handkerchief healing people, is kind of really weird. Anyway, some crazy stories happened in Acts chapter 19. So if you want to find out what happened in Ephesus, you can go there. In fact, if you go way back to January when we started this, we showed some pictures of Ephesus. Ephesus is still a city today. However, it's not occupied. It's a ruin. And it's totally cool. Like, I was there a couple of years ago. It was amazing. Yeah, Caleb. God did. Let's just go with that. Whether God did it through people or earthquakes, which earthquakes is all the stuff. Okay, I'll just give you kind of some details. In Asia Minor, or Turkey now, they have minor earthquakes all the time. And every once in a while, there's a major earthquake. And just think, these cities were made of stone, right? Rocks. So when you have a major earthquake, what happens to rocks? They fall. Right, so all of these cities, they just collapsed in these big earthquakes. And Ephesus was a magnificent city. I mean, just walking through it, like marble everywhere, like it would have been just incredible. It would have been gleaming white. I mean, they were super educated. This was a very high class city. There was 50,000 free people and 200,000 slaves. So it's a city of 250,000 people. So all, you can imagine the 50,000 lived quite high in the hog, I guess you could say. They had in-floor heating. Do you know that? It was cool. Like they ran hot water underneath the housing. Of course, not for the slaves, but for the free people. And they walked around, and because marble's cold, right? I don't know if you ever walked in marble, but it's cold. It's always cold. So they had, you know, cool. And they had running water. They had toilets where you go to, like, public washroom, where you go to the bathroom, and the water would be running, so it would take it away, so it didn't smell. Like, these guys were high tech, right? So, anyway, this is the Ephesians. Some of the things that we found out about the Ephesians during our talk time is these guys loved magic and the occult. They were totally into all that stuff. The letter is written to these, to the Christians who used to be part of that. They used to believe in magic. They used to be part of occultish practices. But they found Jesus, became Christians, and now are following a different way. And so Paul is writing this letter to them, encouraging them, and encourage them on in their walk in Christ. And what we've been going through in the last couple of weeks, he's basically laying out for them how to live the Christian life. Things to steer clear of and things to embrace. And so today is no different. We're going down that same road. Things to watch out for and things to embrace in the Christian life. And he's showing us, again, this is part of it. This is how you live the Christian life. And just so you don't get really confused by the whole thing, I'll just kind of give you the whole basis of the talk, is the Christian life is about heart. It's not about behaviors. Okay, you can look at somebody and go like, well, that guy's a Christian because he does this and this and this, and he looks like this, or she does this, and you know, she reads her Bible and goes to church, she must be a Christian. Paul is going like, no, hold on. In the letter to Ephesians, he's like, no, Christianity is about the heart stuff. And we're going to learn about that today. It's not just the behaviors. So when we're talking about some certain behaviors, you guys, don't mistake me for saying Christianity is a bunch of laws and rules that you have to follow, and it's about behavior modification to try to become a good person. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus is always talking about heart stuff. He wants to change what's inside of here. Because the Bible says what's inside is what eventually comes out. So the way you speak is a result of what's in your heart. Okay, so if you have bad, filthy speech, which we're going to talk about today, actually, it's one of the things to watch out for. If you love the dirty joke, if you talk, if you gossip, if you say bad things about people, it's because of what's in your heart. It's not just the behavior problem. It's because there's something in your heart that God wants to change in you, and that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to change us, to transform us into new people, new creations. In fact, what, 3 weeks ago, that was the name of the talk, right? A new creation. So, that's kind of a little bit of background, catch you up to speed where we are. And so we're picking up the letter in chapter 5, It's on page 706. So if you want to go to that page, Ephesians chapter 5. There's a little heading. It's called Living in the Light. And right off the bat, we ended with this verse last week, and we're starting with it this week, because this is the centerpin of this whole, all the stuff that Paul is talking about, that you need to live like this and not like this. Well, this is the key statement. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. This is the center of his of this whole section that we've been on the last couple of weeks. This is the deal. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to imitate Christ. He wants us to try to take Christ's example and try to live like Jesus and try to be like Jesus. And in 1 John he says to walk as Jesus walked. That's the whole idea. That's what he's getting at. So you got to remember this in light of, okay? In order to walk as Jesus walked, it's not just about doing behaviors. Okay? It's not looking at Jesus and go like, he did this, and he did this, and didn't do this, this, and this. That's not what he's getting at. See, Jesus did those things because his heart was fully God's. Who Jesus wanted to please wasn't himself, that it was God first. So everything that Jesus did was in order to please his Father, to please God. And God wants us to do the same. He wants to change our hearts so that we become more like Jesus. Okay? So there you go. I could probably end the talk right there. Because I want you to remember that statement. In fact, maybe we should come back to it right at the end just to remind you, it's not about a bunch of behaviors and rules. Okay? Here we go. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. So he just launches into this, okay? Be like Jesus, imitate Him, imitate God. God's a good God, He's generous, He's pure, He's holy, He's awesome. So imitate God because, yeah, we want to be all those things. We don't want to be impure, we don't want to be, what's the opposite of awesome?
Sucky.
Caleb.
Sucky. Oh, that is an insult!
No, sorry, that was. I think last week we were supposed to say stuff that build people up, right? Sorry, Caleb. It was, yeah, sorry. Not Caleb. Suckiness. Okay. There you go. Who wants to be awesome? Who would rather be awesome than sucky? Yeah, most of us, the rest of us, you guys want to be sucky, I guess, eh? Yes. I want to suck in life. Yeah. All right. I know in your heart you really want to be awesome, right? Nobody wants to suck. That sucks. Okay. Where was I going with that anyway? I don't know. Let's get back on track. All right. So Paul is getting into he gets right into the thick of things. He goes, there's three things you guys need to watch out for. Okay? One of them is sexual immorality. This translation doesn't say it, but in the New International Version, the NIV version, this is what it says. It says, don't let there even be a hint of sexual immorality. Now this is a big one, and you're actually this is one of the questions in the small group to go through. But it's interesting that not even a hint. I mean, he goes to the extreme, and when the Bible says sexual immorality, it's talking about all types of sexual activity. So it's not just the act of sex, it's also, includes oral sex, it includes pornography, it includes anything sexual outside of marriage. Okay? So homosexuality, all these things, that are deviations of what God has planned for us are in this category of sexual immorality. Okay? You guys kind of get that? We talked about this. I know lots of you guys weren't here, but we talked about this, in the fall, and we called it God's junk box. Right? Sexual immorality, when you see that in the Bible, it's God's junk box of all these different issues regarding to sexual sin. Okay? God's design. One man, one woman in marriage. And sex in that context is actually glorifying to God. It's honoring to God. It's actually being holy and righteous. It's very cool when you think about sex, right? Okay, but we can't get into that talk because if you really want to know our view on sex, we believe there's three ways to look at sex, that it's gross, that it's God, or that it's a gift. And we believe it's a gift. that God has given us, and it's a divine gift that God's given us, and it's good, but we need to use it in the way that He's given it to us to use, right? So anyway, if you want to hear those talks, you can actually go on our website and find them. They were in the fall. Okay, anyway, let's get going. So let there be no sexual immorality. So not even a hint. So guys, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, we have a lot of excuses that we make for some of the movies that we watch, some of the TV shows that we watch. Guys, I'm just kind of laying it out there that this, or some of the music that we listen to, some of the lyrics, and we got lots of excuses for that stuff. We're going to get into that. And here's the thing. God wants purity. God wants us to be holy. And we have a lot of excuses. And we're going to go through some of those things. And I want you guys just to open your heart. Because here's what, God is not here to wreck your fun or be a killjoy or ruin stuff for you. God wants the best for you. He wants you to have real life. And God is our Father. The Bible calls God our Father. And I'm a father. And I have three kids. And when I see that they're in danger, I try to steer them away from the danger. Now, especially my 2-year-old doesn't believe me. Hardly ever. Right? She'll just go and still do it. And then, like, for instance, this is actually my wife said this. She told Everett not to walk up the stairs with the big, huge ball. She has this big, huge ball. And she's like this tiny little girl carrying this massive ball. Don't bring it up the stairs. It's dangerous. So what does she do? She brings it up the stairs. Well, yesterday I heard this huge crash. She was bringing the ball up the stairs and fell backwards because this ball is huge. She can't see. And she probably bonked into the stairs and psh, down she goes. She's only like this tall, right? Thump, 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 and crying. And so, of course, what does my wife say? It's like, I told you not to do that because you can get hurt, right? And so in the same way, God's watching out for us. And He's like, you know, it may be fun to carry the ball up the stairs when you're 2, but I don't want you to because you could fall and hurt yourself. Okay? In fact, you will fall and hurt yourself because that ball is way too big for you to carry up the stairs. I see what's going to happen. In the same way, God sees way more than us. We're like my little 2-year-old. We can't see very far, right? But God can see way, way ahead of us, and He can see around us. And so He knows what's best for us. And so He gives us these laws and these rules because He's like, it's not that you have to live up to these certain rules and be this type of person. It's because I want your heart. I want you to experience real life. And in order for you to be able to experience that, you need to follow God's design for life. Because He just wants to bless you. He wants to give you real life. He wants to change your heart and make you into something that you never thought you could be, to live a life you never thought you could ever live. Because God's living it out through you, which is just cool. Okay, that's just the first one. Impurity. What's impurity?
Everything that's pure.
Yes, that's true. How about like dirtiness, right?
Yeah.
If you think of something that's pure, it's like, it's clean, it's like, you know, it's kind of like, pretty, okay.
It's like if I got these sports cards that were like, that is just wrong.
I'm not following you at all there, so, sorry. Anyway, back on track. Okay, so no impurity, like filthiness. Impurity, I think of dirtiness and filthiness. And impurity reminds me of clean, cleanliness, and you know, something that's sparkly, brand new, kind of, oh, that's awesome, right? And so God's like, you know, stay away from the filthy stuff, the stuff that makes you dirty. And you guys, we know. When we do something and we feel dirty, we know. And it's because God has asked us to steer clear of those things. And so we don't want to feel dirty, right? Feeling dirty is like, yeah. Again, it's suckiness, right? We don't want to suck. Going back to whatever tangent we were on back a few minutes ago. Or greed. What's greed, you guys? Hogging stuff? Okay, that's like selfish. Yeah, I guess you're hoarding stuff. Yeah, that could be greedy because you just want more, right? Desire for more, more, more. Yeah, okay. So really, when the Bible talks about greed, it's this really strong desire for more stuff. So it could mean more a desire for money. It could be a greed for even like more relationships or more. It's almost like lust, right? It's this strong desire is what greed is. So He's like, steer clear of that. Watch out for that. Such sins have no place among God's people. He's like, okay, guys, this stuff destroys you. It wrecks you. So let's steer clear of this stuff. All right, and he goes on. Obscene stories, foolish talks, and coarse jokes or crude jokes. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You know what? At first, I'm reading through this. This is puzzling. So he starts talking about the way we speak, right? Foolish talk, obscene talk, coarse joking or crude jokes. He's like, don't talk like that. And it's interesting because at the end he says, kind of the opposite of these three things is thanksgiving, which is odd, isn't it? The opposite of being, of coarse joking, and obscene talk, and foolish talk, is thankfulness. How does that work? Well, this goes back to right to the start. Living the Christian life is about your heart. And where does real thanksgiving come from? Yeah, it comes from your heart. And here's the other thing. Remember we said at the start when we talk, when we say things we shouldn't say, when we gossip, where does that come from? Your heart, right? The Bible says that the words of your mouth is actually the overflow of your heart. And so Paul is saying, hey, this is a heart issue here. See, when you have a heart that's thankful, then you're not into the crude joking, the foolish talking, the gossiping, the putting people down with your mouth. He says it's actually a thanksgiving issue. Because when you're thankful, when you actually understand all that God has given you, I mean, for us, this should be pretty simple. All we have to do is look around the world. Do you guys realize that you guys, I think it's the top 2% of wealthy people, that you guys are in that category? And I forget the exact statistics, but it's something like 80% of the world's population lives on $2 or less a day. Isn't that crazy? Just think, I mean, when we talk about rich people, we don't think of ourselves usually, unless you're like stinking rich. Right? It's like, yeah, that's me. No. But most of us, we think of someone who's richer than we are and go like, oh, that guy is rich. That guy drives a Porsche or a Hummer or has a hot tub in his backyard and three-story house in Calgary. No, just kidding. So, we always think of somebody else. But you guys need to realize that God has blessed us unbelievably. And we are one of the most unthankful people there are. Seriously. Try going overseas. And I don't know if any of you guys have been overseas on mission trips or anything like that. I've been on a few. Last one I went to was quite a while ago, was in Peru. And we met some really poor people there. And we went into, it was called the Vitor Valley. There were some desperately poor people. And we went a few days, we just kind of went around visiting people. And I mean, they lived in places smaller than my kitchen with like 12 people and dirt floors. And they were happy. And here's the crazy thing. This is actually an experience that happened to me in Indonesia. I remember going into these people's house, and the missionary told me, these guys are desperately poor. He has 8 kids. They have absolutely nothing. And I remember going in, and this guy, he spent, I don't know how much time, but he made me this machete. This kind of a cool deal, and I didn't know that to get metal there, it cost them like, I don't know how many months' wages or whatever. He's got this machete, and he fashioned it for me. It's like bamboo handle, did all the work himself, and he offered it to me as a gift. And I'm like, I was like overcome. I'm like, I can't take that gift. I mean, his family probably didn't eat for a few days so that he could give me something like this. I'm just like, how do you do that? And the missionary's like, no, you have to take it. He'll be incredibly offended if you don't. And so I did. And he was speaking to me. I couldn't understand him, so the missionary translated. And one of the things he says, you need to take this knife so that whenever you look at it, you think of us and you pray for us. And just this, the happiness, the contentment that these people had, they're dirt poor, it just blew me away, because they come back to Canada and we're like the most selfish people. I mean, everything's about us. We just want to get. We want to consume more and more and more. And I'm just like, oh. So for us, I mean, all of us here, we're all in that situation. None of you, even the poor in Canada, are rich compared to the rest of the world. You might be on welfare, but you are stinking rich compared to the rest of the world. I mean, you're not living on a dollar a day, I guarantee you that. And so Paul says it's a thanksgiving issue. This realization that everything you have is a gift of God. Like, are you guys following me here about this whole heart thing? That when we start to understand with our mind and it makes its way down to our heart and we realize how incredibly blessed that we are, it changes who we are, it changes how we act, and it changes how we speak. That's craziness, right? But it does. When our hearts get changed, we become thankful people because we realize not just what we have, but that's just the surface level stuff. Like what God has done for us, that He's given us life to begin with, is an incredible gift. That He sent His Son Jesus to die for us, His only Son, is an unbelievable gift. I have a son. I'm like, I'm not willing to give that gift. He's my son. I love him so much. I don't understand that sacrifice. It's so incredible. And yet I've heard so many people say, well, what has God ever done for me? You know, just unthankful. Just blind to what God has just blessed them with. Because they don't have enough. They think they deserve more. So Paul is saying, nuh-uh. This stuff, it comes from an unthankful heart. The way you speak. All right, let's keep moving. And if this isn't warning enough, this is how he kind of finishes up the warning in verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. This is where he's going with this. This is why he's saying, watch out for this stuff, you guys. This is heart stuff. Watch out what's coming out of your heart. Because in the end, the person who is greedy, who is chasing after impurity, who is sexually immoral, isn't going to spend eternity with Jesus. Okay, you may claim to be a Christian, but if this is your lifestyle, this is what you've given yourself to, you can't give yourself to this stuff. He calls it idolatry. You know why he calls it idolatry? It means that you're worshiping something. And if you're worshiping something other than Jesus, it's idolatry. And so he's saying, no, this is bad for you guys. Watch out. This is going to destroy you. I want you to be with me in eternity. Take the path that I've laid out for you. Don't take this path. This is the wrong path. This is the path that leads to destruction. This is the path that hurts you. I'm your dad. I love you. Take this path. This is danger over here. So that's what God is saying to us through His Word right here. Watch out. Now, you might say, oh, I think I'm guilty. Am I done? Am I finished? Is this it? Well, here's where the good news comes in, you guys. Is that God's a God of second, third, fourth, millionth chances. He forgives us over and over and over. But here's what He's talking about. This is the type of person that he's talking about. It's not just the person who does these things. Remember, we talked about it's not just about your behavior. Okay? The person who does these things is the one whose heart is bent towards them. And what that means is it's not bent towards Jesus. And what that means is that they're not repentant. Okay? They've decided to take this lifestyle and they're kind of going like, forget you, God. I'm going this way. He's not talking about the person who sins, who, you know, guys, I want to, this specifically for most of you guys, I know girls are into this too sometimes, but pornography, he's not talking about, okay, you've watched pornography now for like the last 3 days, you're hooped. That's not what he's saying. It's unrepentant. It's a heart bent towards destruction. And he's like, don't bend your heart towards destruction. That's destructive. Right? Bend it towards me because I'm here to give you life. So it's the person who dedicates their lives to these things and walks unrepentant. That's the type of person that isn't going to be in with God in His kingdom. Okay, strong words. This is a heavy warning. Okay, now, that's a lot of heavy stuff. So, okay, back to kind of what we started with. Imitate God. Like the Christian life is one of love, okay? It's not one of impurity, greed, idolatry, sexual immorality. Those things are not love, okay? The world might try to push that on us, but they're not love. Here's what he says. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey them. Okay, guys, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. There's still this warning. Now he's not warning you for doing these sins. He's warning the people who are excusing them. Okay? So he's like, watch out for those guys. Those are not the guys you want to hang out with. Those are not the people you want to spend a lot of time with. They're the ones that make excuses. Okay? So the guy who likes to watch porn, likes to do all this stuff and, you know, excuses it by saying, oh, it doesn't hurt anybody. It's just me and the computer or me and my phone or me and whatever. You know, it doesn't hurt anyone. It's just me and, you know, or the excuse, well, you know, it doesn't really affect me. You know, you got all these excuses. But it's sexual immorality. You guys, in fact, you know what the root word in the Greek is for sexual immorality? Porneia. Okay? That's where porn, pornography, porn, that's where the word comes from, sexual immorality. Okay? So if that's the kind of stuff that you're into, I would suggest that you come and see me. I would love to talk to you about it. Seriously, multiple times a year, I have people come in and talk to me, and I got resources. I will help you. I can help you get through that kind of stuff. Because, you know what? Sexual addiction among teenagers is at the highest rate ever in history. Like, it's crazy. The statistics are mind-blowing. And here's another new statistic I just learned, and I do premarital counseling here. And one of the things I have to add to my premarital counseling, because this is a new statistic, it used to be that money issues were the number one reason for divorce. Now, pornography is actually the number one listed reason for divorce. Not just in the church, world, like North America-wide, I guess. I can't remember where the stats were exactly from. I'm assuming they're from North America. But that's crazy, right? 60% of marriages, the number one reason was pornography. Because pornography destroys you. It makes you look, for guys, it makes us look at women different. It changes the way we view women. It changes them into sexual objects. It's hard to have a relationship with a woman when you're constantly into porn. It really is. Very difficult. You can't think straight about her. And for girls, porn does something to you too. It does something that's horrible. It makes you think that's what you're for. That's all you're good for. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, for some of you, you might be going like, you know, you're still making excuses, whatever. But think back to when you first started. You didn't feel good about it. I know you didn't. Because there's something in us. God says that this is written on our hearts. Some people call it a conscience, but it's different than your conscience. Your conscience is just not what God's talking about. When he says it's written on your hearts, there's something different. It says that God's law is written on our hearts. We know when we're doing wrong. But we try to excuse it. We try to make all these excuses. So here's some of the excuses you use. And I don't know what thing you might be trying to excuse. I mean, we all do this. I'm guilty of this too, guys. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I've heard all these things and I've said some of them. It's not hurting anybody. But it was funny. So we subject ourselves to something horribly crude. And then we say, it was funny. Like, as if fun is our God now, instead of Jesus. Like, really? So you're going to tell that to God? Oh yeah, I watched all that stuff, and let all that stuff into my mind, because it was funny. Good one, hey? You know, he's not going to laugh. Because he's like, I was trying to help you, I didn't want you to destroy yourself. But you said that fun was more important. And this is not even good fun. We laugh at things that are horrible sometimes. I already said this one, it doesn't affect me. Well, here's another one, maybe for something that you said or lashed out at somebody or something you did. He deserves it. Or she deserves it. Or he made me do it. I wouldn't have done that if he hadn't have done this. Now, my kids are like awesome at this. That's how I know we're all. You know what? As soon as they get in trouble, it's like, but Silas did this and Everett did that. Like, it's just shift blame, blame shift, blame shift. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to be under the microscope. Excuses, excuses. Everyone else is doing it. Can it be that wrong? Looks like they're having fun. Or that's so old-fashioned, especially when it comes to the Bible. It's so old. I mean, Seriously, you could have been saying that for like 3,000 years. I mean, the Bible's way old, like, some, like, 3,000 years ago, they could have been saying, oh, that's so old. Guess what? It's still here. We're still reading it. Yeah, it is old. But it's still here because it's not just old, it's timeless. And that's cool. Sometimes the excuse is, well, it was good money. So we'll do something we know isn't right because we get money from it. You know, people don't, you know, start up as 2-year-olds. I think of my little daughter and going, what do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be a drug dealer. You know, we don't say that, right? Little kids, when they have dreams, they want to be firemen or policemen because little kids have this view of the world that's different than us because they want to help people. They know there's something about little kids that they understand that helping people is so fun. They just love it. My little girl comes here on Sunday morning. She helps Shelby with the coffee. She just thinks it's the best thing in the world because she's helping someone. It's crazy. What happens to us? I don't feel that way anymore. I feel guilty looking at my daughter going like, oh, she wants to serve so much and I'm just like a jerk. All right, here's another one. It's not fair. Yeah? I hear that a lot from everywhere. I have to catch myself saying it sometimes. It's not fair. So, we excuse our sin by saying, well, it's not fair, so I deserve this. Or because, it's not fair that I don't have what other people have. And so it's okay for me. Okay? Big excuse. It's not going to fly when you meet God. How about when it comes to movies? Oh, the story was just awesome. I know it was rated NC-17, but oh, I just love the story. Right? NC-17, by the way, is like soft porn. But, you can see it in theaters. But anyway, so don't do that, please. When it comes to music, well, I love the beat. The guitar solo was just awesome. And yeah, they were cursing out God and telling me the government was trying to kill me, and I think they are. And so we excuse it because, oh, I like the beat. It was good. It made me feel good. That's another excuse. It felt good. It made me feel good. Well, yeah, a lot of things make you feel good. But they're not necessarily good for you. In fact, some things that make you feel good are destructive. They can kill you. Drugs, for instance. Yeah. And then finally, God just doesn't want me to have fun. He's, God's just this big killjoy up there. He's just, he created all these fun things to do and he just doesn't want us to do them all. It's just an excuse, right? Oh, yeah, we've never actually tried to embrace the life that God has given us and God's laid out for us. Okay, we are in small group time right now, so we need to finish this. But here's the warning. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And we talked about this. I have to add this. I can't exclude this. See, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus on the cross. You guys realize that? When the Bible talks about the wrath of God, it's kind of scary. You're like, whoa. Okay, if God is that big, His wrath must be out of this world. And it really is. It's like some big time wrath. I do not want to be under God's wrath. But see, when Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that He did, the cup that He drank for us, was the cup of God's wrath. Okay, God poured out His wrath. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before Jesus was even born, the Bible said that this was going to happen, and God was going to crush Him for our sin. That He was going to pour out His wrath on His own Son so that we wouldn't have to take the wrath. Okay? But here's the deal. For those of us who are going to, who are going like, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to screw up. I'm going to sin. But I'm going to repent. I'm going to walk the other way. I'm going to pursue God with my life and not these other things. You're going to stand before Jesus and God is going to be, I poured out my wrath on my Son for you. You are washed clean. You're good to go because of Jesus and what He did. Not because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did. And for those of us who've rejected Jesus and walked away from it, guess what we have to face? The very wrath that was poured out on Jesus, we have to face that now. Can you see why the warning is so powerful that Paul is saying, don't go this way? Jesus took the wrath of God for you. Okay, so you don't have to, so don't, you don't have to. So don't be fooled by the people making excuses, because they're all over the place. Excuse after excuse. Don't believe it. Don't fall into the trap. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, and now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. We've talked about light in the last couple of talks. And when the Bible talks about light, it talks about the ability to see. And being in darkness is confusing. And if you remember a few weeks ago, Paul was reminding the Ephesians, don't go back to what you used to live like. Don't do that. You were confused. You thought you were enlightened, but you were confused. Because you were blind. He says, now that God is giving you light, you're not blind anymore. You can actually see. So this is the challenge that he lays out. Light. You are filled with light. When you follow Jesus and Jesus comes to live in your life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you and fills you with light and changes your desires. And so if you're dealing with one of these things that we were talking about today, if you're struggling through some of these sins, don't think that you're screwed, okay? Don't think that this is the end for you. This is actually just the beginning for you. Because you can turn away from those things, you can walk away from those things and receive Christ and receive His forgiveness. I want to pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are a gracious God, that you sent your Son, and that when you poured out your wrath, you poured it out on Him so that we don't have to face that wrath. Because I can't imagine having to face that. That just blows me away. I mean, that is the most fearful thing I can even imagine, is facing the wrath of a God who created the world. That sounds crazy. But Lord, you poured it out on your Son. You said that Jesus became our sin for us so that we might have life. Thank you for that life. Lord, I just pray that if anyone here is trying to understand this stuff, Lord, I just pray that you would open their eyes, that they would be able to see, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to them what it is we were talking about and what it means to follow Jesus. Lord, give us the strength to do the things that we just learned today, that we need to imitate you, and we need to live this life of love. This is, you know, all these things we can't remember boils down to. We need to try to model our lives after Jesus and to live a life of love. So Lord, we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.